If you have your Bible with you this evening, I want you to turn to the 103rd Psalm that Paul read to us. It's my favorite psalm, and we were thinking of Thanksgiving this morning, and the psalm is a great psalm of praise. It starts off, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I remember reading that. And I wondered, how on earth could we bless God? It was always God that blessed us. And I remember sitting the Baptist Sunday School, the Baptist Union Sunday School exam, and our memory verses were taken out of Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And I was unsaved. And I remember the Sunday school teacher saying that word "blessed" means joyous and happiness. And what a happy man who would have all those virtues. You would become salt and you would have become light. And I think the psalmist is saying he's expressing his worship and praise and adoration. And he's allowing the joy of God's salvation in his soul to go out to the Lord, blessing the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ in his high priestly prayer prayed this prayer: "I want my joy to be in them. And I want their joy to be full." A joy that will remain all your life. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I look down, see some of you old Baptists, and I say, "What a miserable bunch. Do you know anything about God's salvation at all?" If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. I'm saved, 75 years. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So he's expressing his joy in his worship. If you read the Amplified Hebrew Bible, it says this: "Praise the Lord with the affection, O my soul. Let all that is within me praise his holy name." So he not only expressed his joy in his worship, but he expressed his love for God. Now we probably have difficulty in expressing our love for the Savior. Oh, somebody prayed this morning that he loved the Lord, and I was really delighted. Reminded of the story of the couple who got married, and after 20 years, the wife said, "You never tell me that you love me, and you never buy me chocolates or flowers." "Sister, I told you that on the day I married you, that I loved you." "Well, but that was 20 years ago." "Well, if there's any change, I'll let you know." And that's perhaps like us. I have two daughters. And every time they ring, I would always say, "Your old dad still loves you." It's the greatest thing, love. Love has a language all its own, voiced in its making. And love gives its best. If you can't express it in your worship, it's good to sing a hymn. "My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I will love thee in life, I will love you in death, praise you as long as thou lendest me breath, and say when the death dews lie cold on my brow, if ever I loved you, my Jesus, 'tis now." We love him because he first loved us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his lovely Son to be the propitiatory sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And I love that word propitiation. Some of them have changed it. It means expiation, taking all your sins away. But it means staying the wrath of the eternal God on the propitiatory sacrifice. No wonder we love him, because he first loved us. But you know, there's a real mixture in his worship. He not only expresses his joy and he expresses his love, but he blesses his holy name. And I think there's a spirit of reverence blessing God's holy name. I remember I used to conduct a Bible class in McGilligan Prison, and we had an eminent physician came in one day, and he started to talk about this guy, Jesus. And something within me squirmed. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. And although you're saved and born again, we're still the wretched sons of men, sinners saved by grace. And I think that sometimes our reverence, we don't worship a holy and awesome God. I remember sitting in the Derry Guildhall, W.P. Nicholson was preaching. There were 3,000 in the hall, and you would have heard a pin drop. There was an awesomeness in the meeting. God was in the midst, and there was godly fear. Now, when you come to church next Sunday morning, express your joy. Sing with all your heart. Express your love. Christ of the cross, bruised, bleeding, torn. I see the thorns thy brow adorn. My Lord, I know for me 'twas born. I love thee and adore. Christ of the cross, how great thy grace to leave thy throne and take my place to die and all my sin efface. I love thee and adore. Christ of the cross, great gift of love, sent by the Father from above, take my poor heart and let it not rove. I love thee and adore. Christ of the cross, my God, my King, accept the offering that I bring, and through eternity I'll sing. I love thee and adore. Express your worship, joy, love, reverence. But you know what he's sitting there, and I can imagine in my own mind, the second part he says this. He not only expresses his worship, but he starts in his praise to enumerate all the blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And I've underlined, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you know the greatest blessing in life is forgiveness? If I have sinned once from the day I was born, I have committed 30,000 sins. And the thought of foolishness is sin. And Paul, in his address this morning, was speaking of sin. And I think we deal lightly with the question of sin. If you happen to study Louis Berkhof's systematic theology, it'll take you a time or two to get through it. But when you come to the doctrine of sin, he says, all our sin is an act of violence against the throne of God and will be punished in a lost eternity. It's doing it my way. It's sin. I'm a great man for the Psalms. I was brought up in a church in Londonderry, Fountain Street Baptist Church, with Scottish pastors. We always sung a psalm in the morning or a paraphrase. But if I wanted my way in this church to make you sing a psalm and a paraphrase, that would be sin. Not considering the rest of yous at all. If my style of music, I wanted it, it would be my way. My way is sin. My desires, my appetites, they are sin. But he's forgiven me all my iniquities. You know, it's very interesting. The second one, he talks about forgiveness. He healeth all thy diseases. And they're in what is known as juxtaposition. The last two words are in juxtaposition. All thine iniquities will cause all thy diseases. Could I explain that a bit? I remember preaching in Glasgow in the Harper Memorial Church and then went on to the Finlay Memorial Church. The young minister said to me, would you visit a lady with me tomorrow? And I remember going up this tenement building. There were four stories. And he said on the road up, he says, watch this woman, he says, for she's temperamental. My Irish humor got the better of me. He says, all women are like that. They're half temper and half mental. We'll be able to deal with her. And I sat down with that girl for a number of hours. And she told me her story. just want to come to the A-levels, to the formal. She met her boyfriend in the college. They had their first drink. They had speed. They had ecstasy. They went out with each other, and then they went to the clubs. They married each other, and the marriage got worse and worse through their drinking. And she ended up in Carstairs Mental Institute with alcoholic amnesia, or in her terms now, we would talk about a wet brain. A person, a Christian, who didn't give up on her, visited her time after time, and urged her to cry to God for mercy. And with all that she had left, she cried for God's salvation, and God heard her cry. And she began to mend. Her mind started to recover. She was discharged. She joined the church, was baptized, and was going on with the Lord. We had a splendid afternoon together trying to sort out a whole lot of other things, emotional problems that she had. But you know, I was back in that church 3 years afterwards, and that girl was teaching a Bible class. What happened? And the wonder of the forgiveness of sin that caused all our problems. There was forgiveness, and there was healing of her personality. I had to do a course with Dr. Stephen McCauley on counseling. I was with him, did the two-year course with him. He left. He was in charge of 5 mental hospitals here in Ulster. And he told me that a big lot of the problems were sin, and he wasn't allowed to deal with it. He could increase the pills and decrease the pills, but he wasn't allowed to deal. He left the job and is now in a private practice. Sin can cause diseases. In the grace of God and the marvelous forgiveness of sin, there's a healing within the whole personality. He forgiveth, he healeth, he redeemeth thy life from destruction. There are 2 thrones of God that you'll appear before. If you're a Christian, you'll appear before the Abema seat of Christ. And you'll give an answer for how you've served the Lord. And what is wood, hay, and stubble of no use will be burned. What is gold and silver and precious stones shall remain. And you shall receive your reward. It's a reward ceremony. But I tell you this, if you're out of Christ tonight and you're not saved and you're not born again of the Holy Spirit of God and you've know nothing of the joy of God's salvation, you'll appear at the white throne of God. And your book will be opened and you'll be judged out of that book. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. If you're saved tonight, he's redeemed your life from eternal destruction. Boys, you should be praising the Lord. Look, he forgiveth. He healeth. He redeemeth. And then he goes on to say, he crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. That word, I'm told in the Hebrew, is the word beautifieth your life. He beautifieth your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. Do you know what that is? That's the nature of God. Isn't it at the end of the book, Peter? Peter in 2 Peter 1, chapter, verse 4 says this, we, as the people of God, are partakers of God's divine nature. Oh, boy. You know, our salvation is something. He forgiveth. He healeth. He redeemeth you from destruction. He beautifieth your life with loving kindness and with tender mercies. Far too many hard old Christians. The love of Christ should be shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. I love in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But here it is, here we are God's workmanship, and the Greek word is poema. Wonderful word. It's an artistic word. We are God's work of art. We are God's literature, epistles known and read of all men. But you know, one old commentator says this about it. We are the expression of God's most superlative thought. Imagine, an old fella like me, wretched sinner, saved by grace, is the expression of God's most superlative thought. Boy, what dignity we should have as the people of God. We should be praising the Lord. He forgiveth, he healeth, he redeemeth, he beautifieth thy life with loving kindness and tender mercies, and he satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. My father was 94. He never thought himself as old, never. I used to go down for a coffee with him in the morning, and I would say to him, do you ever go down to the common room? And he says, I wouldn't go down there. You see them old dolls down there, they would do your head in. He was 15 years older than them. Never thought that he was old. Because he had satiated his soul for 80 years on the things of God. And a shot from him. And your youth is renewed like the eagles. You ever go into Boots, the chemist? Oh, they have a wee place now upstairs in Belfast where you get your pills. And I'll tell you how you know you're getting older. The bag of pills get bigger. One sure sign you're getting older. But there's a whole floor. All to keep you young. One old preacher said there's enough paint on to paint the Queen Mary and enough powder to blue her up. All to try and make you young. Fill in all the cracks. And even the men, Grecian, I thought it wouldn't be much good to me and a few other boys about the congregation. But I'll tell you this, if you satisfy your soul in the things of God, you have captivated the secret of eternal youth. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, that wonder of God's salvation. Count your blessings. He expresses his worship, he enumerates the blessing, and quickly he explains the means of grace. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful, grace is slow to die. Plenty of mercy. If you're in this meeting tonight and you're unsaved, I want to offer you God's salvation tonight. Plenteous grace with thee is found. Grace to cover all my sin. There is plenty of mercy. If you hear the voice of the Spirit of God, don't delay. Come on to the cross work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? And you'll be saved. There's plenty of mercy for you. But I love this one. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above, so great is his mercy. There's great mercy for the worst. I don't care what you've done. I always love the story in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well. I don't know what you would do if you brought her to this church. Five husbands, the guy she was living with wasn't her husband. And Jesus met her at the well. And Jesus gave her water that wasn't in the well. She went away singing. She came back bringing others for the water that wasn't. There's great mercy. Great mercy. I've worked with people and their stuff in their lives you couldn't lift in a shovel. And I've told them Jesus would meet them there, where they are. Cleanse their sin. He cleanses the foulest wherever it goes. And then in verse 17 he says, but the mercy of the Lord is everlasting. There's everlasting mercy. Oh, he'll keep you till the river rolls its water at your feet. And bear you safely over where the loved ones you shall meet. But verse 13 is marvelous. Like as a father pitieth his children, the Lord pitieth them that fear. See that word pity? It's a transliteration. It's the same Hebrew word. Mercy. And the principal of the London Bible class, Bible College, in his commentary on the Psalm, says this about that word. It's attached to a word, the word womb. I could not understand that. For the life of me. My two girls were leaving home. The home was empty. And their mom was standing beside me. And we were waving them to the boat. And all of a sudden I got what this word meant. It was a mother losing the children of her womb. Do you know what struck into my mind? Can a woman's tender care cease towards the child she bears? I don't think perhaps men can enter into that. I worked with a little woman in Ballymena, her only son a high-ranking peace officer, went into drugs and drink, lost his job living in England. And he used to write home to her for £100 he needed for food. She was only actually supplying his addiction. I had to try and stop her. But that didn't matter what that fella did. That mother's love pursued him. I want to tell you this, friend, that's how Christ loved you. Like a mother. The love of a mother. That love that is extended you in the gospel of grace. Praise him in your worship. Praise him as you count the blessing. Praise him for the gospel of redeeming grace. And let me finish. There's a catalogue in the Bible of all that's going to praise him. You'll not escape by there. He calls the angels in heaven to praise him. Praise him, all ye heavenly hosts. He calls sun, moon, and stars to bow down before him. He calls the very elements to praise him. Fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy winds fulfilling his word. He asks young men, and there are plenty of them in this church, you young men and you young women, praise the Lord. Young men and maidens, praise him. And the Bible exhorts babies to praise him. And there are plenty, the place is full of them. There's a real baby boom, and it's delightful to see them. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings comes perfect praise, even though we babies in the church are praising him and rejoicing in the life that God has given. Praise him, young men and maidens, old men, that's me, and children, praise the Lord. All creation, the trees of the field, clap your hands. And there's a lovely verse in the 148th, it says, praise and sing, ye dragons of the deep. That's not Ruth Greenfield's choir, by the way. That dragons of the deep are not that. I'll tell you, it's the big blue whale. I learned a lot about the big blue whale this week. You know, it can go to 10 tons. And with a flick of its tail, it can throw itself away over the air and do that 7 or 8 times. Boy, he's praising the Lord that a God could create an animal like that. But he has a twofold purpose in doing that, you know. He does it to knock the barnacles off him. Not a great idea. Some of us need to jump out of the baptismal tank and plunge into the time or two and get the barnacles off us and praise and worship the Lord. Praise him, all ye dragons of the deep. And if you think you're left out, you know what the last verse in the Psalter is? Let everything that is breath. I want to tell you, even you're half dead down there, if you're breathing at all, praise the Lord. Do you know what it did to me reading that psalm? It radicalized all my worship. Yes, I come to hear the preachers every morning. I listen to every word. I pray every prayer with them. But I sing the songs of Zion with joy, with love, and with deep reverence. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord. And all time in my singing in the morning, what I do, when I hear the McAllisters, Gare, and Heather Green singing, I go silent and listen to the beautiful harmonies as they sing off one another. Do you know what they're doing? They're praising the Lord. Amen.